This is Dan's Mega 65 Digest for June. Yes, June 2025. Taste the Rainbow. Hey, all. I've been a bit busier than usual lately, so this digest is tardy. If we could all pretend that it's still June for just a few moments, I'd appreciate it. Let's recap. A character graphic system limits the amount of memory needed to describe what appears on a raster display, and thus the amount of computation needed to update it. It does this through indirection. Instead of describing every pixel on the screen, it describes a smaller set of repeatable patterns, or characters, along with a description of where those patterns appear in a grid. Such systems typically apply a similar idea to color, finding benefits in describing characters and colors separately. For example, this allows a program to reuse the image data in different colors. Flexible color systems such as the Mega 65's VIC-4 also use indirection for defining the colors. Color data references entries in a palette, such as color number 2, and each entry describes the color value to use when the entry is referenced. Color 2 is red. Last month, remember, we're pretending it's June, we began exploring character graphics using the built-in Petsky character set and the default system palette. We covered how to describe the display in terms of these presets with data in screen and color memory. This month, we'll look at defining custom colors and custom character images. We'll take this opportunity to explore two color-related alternate display modes from the VIC-2 era, and see how different graphics modes make trade-offs to give us more options. Let's do some featured files, then get right to it. Featured files. Muse has three arcade cores for us this month. Galaxian from Namco 1979, Gyrus from Konami 1983, and Up and Down from Sega 1983. Kiwi has given us a beta release of a text editor, Mega Edit. Some features are still in progress. It's inspired by Compute's SpeedScript. Fifth Winds by Hanyik Robert, a two-player logic game. Play against the computer or another player. Great work, everyone. Keep it up. Petsky characters and playing cards. Let's make a card game. The Petsky character set has symbols for the four playing card suits. You can type these directly onto the screen, hold Shift, then type A, S, Z, or X. Just as on a Commodore 64, the keys on your Mega 65 have their corresponding graphic symbols printed on the front. Hold Mega to type the left-hand symbol, Shift for the right-hand symbol. I took a crack at drawing a playing card with Petsky symbols. I ended up using border and corner pieces, and reverse mode characters for the white card surface. When typing, you can enter reverse mode with Control 8 and exit with Control 9. Each of these characters, including the reversed ones, has a screen code, a number that refers to an entry in the active character set. When you type Shift A, the screen editor writes screen code 65 to the location in screen memory that corresponds with the cursor position. If we wrote our card game in assembly language, we might represent the card images as screen codes in our program data and draw them by storing these codes directly into screen memory. A basic program could do the same with the T and C special arrays. They're spelled T, @ampersand, and C, @ampersand. Or use poke with the screen memory address as shown in the last digest. Another way to draw the cards is to manipulate the screen editor's cursor. This is what happens when a basic program uses the print command, or when an assembly language program calls the character out kernel routine. Instead of a screen code, the program emits a Petsky code that tells the cursor what to do. Some codes print a character at the cursor's position and in the cursor's color. Other codes change the cursor's color or position. We explored Petsky codes in a previous digest. The screen editor implements the cursor's behavior by writing screen codes to screen memory and color codes to color memory. Custom colors everywhere. So what's the deal with these color codes? Each available color is assigned a number. The number written to color memory for a location on the screen determines the foreground color of that character. The background and screen border also each have a color code stored in dedicated registers. BASIC 65 has commands that can change the background and border colors, appropriately named background and border. Try entering these commands with a number in the range 0 to 31. Background space 0, border space 2, that kind of thing. The C64 has a fixed palette of 16 colors, numbered 0 to 15. I'm used to thinking that 0 is always black, 1 is white, 6 is blue, etc., and might be comfortable calling these color codes. On the Mega 65, you can change the color of any entry to any of 4,096 possible colors. Here, color codes are probably better known as palette codes. Similar to a painter's palette, you can put any color you want into any palette entry. I want the background color for this card game to be a dark green, like the felt of a traditional card table. The default system palette doesn't have a dark green, but no worries, we can make our own. Palette, space, color, space, 22, 0, 7, 0. Background, space, 22. The palette color command takes a palette code and a value for how much red, green, and blue to mix into the color, each a number from 0 to 15. The Mega 65 is mixing light, not paint, so the more color you add, the brighter the result. 0, 0, 0 is black, 15, 0, 0 is bright red, 15, 15, 15 is white, and so on. Here I chose 0, 7, 0 for the green felt. Feel free to adjust this to your taste. To set a system palette color from machine code, write the value from 0 to 15 to each of the red, green, and blue palette registers. The reds are at addresses hexadecimal D100 to D1FF, the greens are D200 to D2FF, and the blues are D300 to D3FF. For example, to change palette entry number 22, hexadecimal 16, to felt green, you'd store a 0 at address D116, 7 at address D216, and 0 at address D316. A palette actually contains 256 entries, not just the 32 entries accessible by characters in our current text mode. The palette color, background, and border commands support all 256 entries, numbered 0 to 255. For example, palette, space, color, space, 32, comma 1, comma 3, comma 5, border, space, 32. There are a few ways to give characters access to more of the palette. We're about to see two limited but interesting ways. We'll cover full-color character modes in a later issue. 4. Palette banks. The VIC-4 has 4 palette banks, each with 256 entries. The character system and the sprite system can use any of the 4 banks, and you can set characters and sprites to use different banks at the same time. There are not yet BASIC 65 commands for using other palette banks, but this is planned for a future ROM update. Palette bank selection goes through 2-bit registers at address D070. Each bit pair can select palette 0 with bits 00, palette 1 with bits 01, palette 2 with bits 10, or palette 3 with bits 11. To change the palette bank used for text, set the 2-bit register BTPALSEL. Let's see, that's a bit palette selector. Yeah, the text palette selector, I guess. Address D070, bits 4 and 5. To change the palette bank used for sprites, set SPRPALSEL. That makes sense, sprite palette select. Address D070, bits 2 and 3. To set or read the colors assigned to palette entries in a given bank, set MAPEDPAL, mapped palette, I think, address D070, bits 6 and 7, then use the red, green, and blue registers D100 to D3FF, as we saw earlier. The color value registers always reflect the selected palette. Here's a quick demo to make sense of this. Enable Sprite 0, set it to palette entry 7, and move it onto the screen with these commands. Sprite space 0, 1, 7. MOV SPR space 0, 100, 100. Next, change hardware sprites to use palette bank 1 instead of 0. Okay, get ready for this one. Poke space dollar $D070, comma. Peek open parentheses dollar $D070, close parentheses, and percent sign 11110011 or percent sign 00000100. The AND clause in that expression clears bits 2 and 3 while preserving the other settings. The OR clause sets SPRPALSEL to palette bank 1, also while preserving the other settings. Yes, you can use set bit and clear bit here, but using poke in this way ensures that both bits are set simultaneously with no time for the VIC to get confused while it is drawing. Finally, change palette entry 7 of palette bank 1 to aquamarine. First, set MAPEDPAL to point the color value registers to palette 1. This is a similar expression, poke space dollar $D070, comma, peak open parentheses dollar $D070, close parentheses, and percent sign 00111111 or percent sign 01000000. Next, set color values for entry 7. Poke $D107, 0. Poke $D207, 10. Poke $D307, 15. Now switch the cursor to palette entry 7. Press Control 8. Yes, the 8 key refers to palette entry 7. The cursor switches to yellow, and you can type yellow text. Characters are using palette bank 0, while sprites are using palette bank 1. What would happen if you switch characters to palette bank 1? How would you do this with a single basic command? Understanding character sets. So far, we've been exploring character graphics using the built-in Petsky character set. We can customize the character set to use any collection of 256 8x8 images that we want. This is one of the most powerful ways to add graphics to a game, and many Commodore games use custom character sets for game objects, backgrounds, and alternate text fonts. A character set contains 256 character images, and each character image is 8 bytes, for a total of 2048 bytes, or 2 kilobytes. The images are ordered by screen code. A copy of the Petsky character set is built into the ROM starting at address hexadecimal 2D000. We can find the image data for the suit symbols in this area using the screen code. For example, the spade is screen code 65, so its image data starts at byte offset 65 times 8, which is 520 or hexadecimal 208, from 2D000 or address 2D208. See the article for a short program that displays the image bits in a character set for a given screen code. The Petsky character data in ROM consists of two character sets, one for the uppercase and graphics, and another for lowercase and uppercase. When you press Mega Shift to change the letter casing mode, it is just switching between these character sets. The lowercase variant starts at address 2D800. Pointing to custom character sets. On the Commodore 64, the VIC-2 starts in a state that uses the Petsky character set from the built-in ROM. A program can tell the VIC to use a custom character set instead by setting registers to an address in RAM where the character set is stored. As a kid, I wrote many programs that would copy the Petsky character set from ROM to RAM, point the VIC to the RAM address, then make changes to certain characters. The VIC-2 integrates with the C64's memory system in a somewhat complicated way, with restrictions on what memory the VIC can see and where in memory graphics data can be located. The Mega-65 emulates these methods for backwards compatibility. I won't explain these methods here because the Mega-65 offers other ways to use custom character sets that are easier to understand. The VIC-4 provides a 24-bit pointer register, called Char Pointer, CHARPTR, at addresses D068 to D06A, that can locate the active character set at any address in the first 384 kilobytes of memory. Here's a simple demonstration that sets Char Pointer to the location in ROM where font B is stored, hexadecimal 3D000. The command would be wpoke $D068, $D000, colon, poke, $D06A, $03. Note that as of ROM 920416, Runstop Restore does not restore the character pointer to its default. This will be fixed in a later update. Similar to changing screen pointer to quickly switch between sets of screen memory, a program can use Char Pointer for special graphics effects that require quickly switching between character sets. For backwards compatibility with the VIC-2, Char Pointer treats addresses in the ranges 1000 to 1FFF and 9000 to 9FFF as special. When looking for character set data, the VIC-4 translates these addresses to a special area of memory, the VIC-4 character set buffer, at address hexadecimal FF7E000 to FF7EFFF. The Mega65 sets up this buffer with the pesky character set that the VIC-2 would expect in ROM at these addresses. The VIC-4 character set buffer. It turns out, the VIC-4 character set buffer is more useful to Mega65 programs than was originally intended. When the Mega65 starts, it copies the PETSCII font from ROM to the VIC-4 character set buffer at the address range FF7E000 to FF7EFFF. Similar to a C64, the computer starts with Char Pointer set to 1000, so it uses FF7E000 for the active character set, uppercase PETSCII. Early Mega65 developers noticed that programs can write directly to the character set buffer. In many cases, you don't have to hassle with copying ROM to RAM or repointing Char Pointer just to get a custom character set. You can just poke directly into the buffer to change what it thinks the character ROM is. This is totally cheating. Kids today don't know the pain of throwing 2 kilobytes of RAM onto the fire just to customize the font. BASIC65 takes full advantage of this capability. The chardef command, CHARDEF, locates the character's image data in the buffer via the screen code, then writes the new image data to that location. Similarly, the font C command resets everything back to the PETSCII font by copying the character set from 2D000 to FF7E000. It's common for games to completely replace the character set with a custom font, as well as with tiles for in-game graphics. On the Mega65, this is as simple as loading that data into the character set buffer. For a quick experiment, we can find C64 character sets on the internet that have been extracted from vintage games and various versions of Commodore ROMs. Try this. Step 1. Visit the C64 character set gallery by Peter Koffler, there's a link in the article, and browse for a character set you'd like to try. Click on it to download it. Typically, it's a zip file, so expand it to get the contents. The data file name ends in either .64c or .bin. Step 2, use a tool such as M65 Connect, Durmaster, or Droid64 to create a D81 disk image and copy the char set file to the disk. Transfer the disk image to your Mega65's SD card. Step 3, on your Mega65, mount the disk image. Step 4, use the bload command to load the file into the VIC-4 character set buffer. If the file is a .64c file, it has a 2-byte address header at the head of it. Bload already knows to skip the 2-byte address header. Invoke the command with the p argument set to the address of the buffer. Bload, space, quote, the name of the file, .64c, quote, comma, p, open parentheses, dollar, FF7E000, close parentheses. If the file is a .bin file, provide the R argument to tell bload that the file does not have an address header. Bload, space, quote, the name of the file, .bin, quote, comma, P, open parentheses, dollar, FF7E000, close parentheses, R. When you're done enjoying the custom character set, press Run Stop Restore to return to Petsky. Run Stop Restore does know how to reset the character set buffer. Extended Background Color Mode. My playing card looks roughly like the Ace of Spades, but something is off. The characters on the card are drawn with reverse characters, using white for the foreground color and letting the green background through the card's value and suit. Ideally, we'd draw the value and suit of the card in black, spades and clubs, or red, for hearts and diamonds, onto the white card surface. Can we do this and still keep our green background? For that, we need to introduce a new graphics mode. Extended Background Color Mode, or ECM, allows us to choose three additional background colors, for a total of four, and select from one of the four background colors for each character individually. ECM works the same way as it does on the Commodore 64's VIC-2 chip. With the Mega 65, it also works in the higher resolution text modes and with custom palettes. ECM comes at a price. The Commodore 64 did not have additional memory for storing background color selections for each character, so instead, ECM steals the upper two bits of the screen code for this purpose. This leaves fewer bits for selecting a character from the character set, limiting the selection to the first 64 screen codes. To enable ECM, set bit 6 of register D011. The registers for the four background colors are D021, the normal background color register, D022, D023, and D024. These registers can be set to any of the 256 entries of the selected character graphics palette. See the article for a short program that draws all 256 screen codes onto the screen with ECM enabled. This shows that only the first 64 characters are available, but they're now available in four possible background colors. Remember how the screen editor's blinking cursor toggles bit 7 on the screen code, which normally goes back and forth between normal and reversed characters? With ECM enabled, this actually flips between two background colors. This is a neat effect, unless the two background colors are the same, in which case the cursor becomes invisible. Extended Background Color Mode seems like it would be useful for our card game. The regular background color is our custom felt green color, there's an alternate background color we can set to white for the card background, and the text on the card can be any of the first 32 palette entries, such as black on white or red on white. But maybe you've already noticed, there's a problem with this plan. ECM denies us access to the characters we were using to draw spades, clubs, hearts, and diamonds. Not to mention the snazzy border characters. We only get 64 possible characters in this mode, and they're showing up as letters, numbers, punctuation, and that's about it. What else is there to do? Custom character sets to the rescue. We just need to replace four of the available 64 characters with the images for the suit symbols and use those characters to draw cards. We could figure out the bytes for each symbol and write them into our program. In this case, the characters we want are already in the character set, so we could just copy them down. The screen codes for the spade, club, heart, and diamond are 65, 88, 83, and 90, respectively. Let's copy these to slots 27, 28, 29, and 30. See the article for another short program that does this. With the appropriate background color settings, we can now draw values and suits in their correct colors over a white card background on a green felt tabletop. To get those nice border characters, I could sacrifice 8 more punctuation symbols. Every project has to decide what it needs and what it's willing to give up. Low-res Multicolor Character Mode. The VIC-2 has another way to get more color into its characters. In Low-res Multicolor Mode, or MCM, a character can use any of four possible colors for each pixel. As always, you can't get something from nothing, and this comes with trade-offs. Each pixel is doubled in width, and a character is four such pixels across. The character set data is still one byte per row, with each pair of bits selecting the color for that double-wide picture element. These bit pairs select from the four color options. 00 is the background color, 01 is the color in register D022, 10 is the color in register D023, and 11 is the character foreground color. As with ECM, the background and colors D022 and D023 apply to the entire screen. The foreground color can be different for each character, as usual. You can mix high-resolution and low-resolution characters on the same screen. This is great if you want to display PETSCII text alongside low-res high-color images. But yes, this comes with another trade-off. With MCM enabled, color bit 3 determines whether the character is high-res 0 or low-res 1. You can only use the first 8 palette entries for the foreground color. MCM also ignores color bits 4 through 7. Character attributes are disabled with MCM enabled. It's more fun than it sounds. See the article for 2 example programs demonstrating MCM. If these trade-offs make low-res multicolor character mode seem a bit disappointing, consider this. The Mega 65 has customizable palettes, so you have quite a few more color options than on a C64. Also, the Mega 65 has double the horizontal resolution of a C64. If you're willing to give up some space in the character set, you can display a full 40 columns of 4 color characters. Extended background color mode and low-res multicolor character mode are 2 ways the VIC-2, VIC-3, and VIC-4 give you more options for displaying character graphics. They work by changing the way the screen code bits are interpreted, trading off one capability for another using the same amount of screen memory as normal, high-res low-color text mode. This was critical with the C64, which didn't have more memory to spare. The Mega 65 comes bundled with 384 kilobytes of memory usable for graphics. What could the VIC-4 chip do for us if we give it more memory? We'll find out next month. This month. You know what I mean. This digest is made possible by a group of amazing people making monthly donations. If you'd like to join this group, visit ko-fi.com/DDDAAANNN. Until next time, happy hacking! For more, visit my website, dansanderson.com/mega65.